Hey, what up, guys? It's Chiquis. You know, game days at my house are a whole thing. La camiseta, the snacks, la familia, all the yelling at the TV. Y claro, el outfit para la fiesta también importa. But let's talk about the family group chat, making crazy predictions before kickoff, los amigos sending voice notes after every golazo, y por supuesto, debating which player wore it best. Sign me up para esa encuesta. And when I'm on tour, I still gotta stay close to mi gente, rooting for our team, because nothing feels better than shouting gol all at the same time. Being a T-Mobile member gets me America's best network y mucho más with nonstop talk, text, and data in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. Plus, I get awesome benefits like incredible perks every week with T-Mobile Tuesdays. Every match is better when you can celebrate every goal con tu gente. Switch to T-Mobile today at T-Mobile.com. On qualifying plans, not for extended international use, coverage not available in some areas. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, 2H2025.
Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy Wednesday, everybody. Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Bates with you. As always, you don't know Paul's a cat dad. I didn't know Paul's a dog dad at one point.
Yeah, I had a dog.
I never responded to your video, by the way. Your dog was very cute.
Grizzly. He was a little Yorkie poodle, which is the manliest of dogs.
I was going to say, I had a big old chocolate lab. But
oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love labs. Labs are probably the funniest dogs. One of my friends had a black lab, and they're very protective. And one time we jumped off his dock in Florida just to go swimming, and my friend's dog, the black lab Commodore, jumps in, thought he was dying, and grabbed him by the life jacket and legitimately pulled him back to
love it
to shore. It was really amazing.
We love some good dogs.
And we'll get animals here. Yes.
We'll get to the Astros, who are absolute dogs, in a minute. But we do want to start out. Thank you. We do want to start out with some, not necessarily news, but comments. We haven't heard Roger Goodell talk that much about anything involving the Deshaun Watson situation, which is understandable. From one angle, it's a legal process. And then once the legal process was over, it moved to their code of conduct. There were some owners' meetings in Minneapolis because the owners had to approve the sale of the Walmart folks buying the Broncos, which was, shocker, approved. But he was willing to talk a little bit about Deshaun Watson, the situation, and why the NFL is pursuing a longer punishment. Here's Roger Goodell on that.
Well, as you know, it's part of the CBA. The two parties had that right. Either party could certainly challenge and appeal that, and that was something that we thought was our right to do, as well as the NFL PS, and we decided it was the right thing to do.
Why go back to seeking the full year suspension?
Because we've seen the evidence. She was very clear about the evidence. She reinforced the evidence that there was multiple violations here, and they were egregious, and it was predatory behavior. Those are things that we felt, always felt, were really important for us to address.
Something about hearing Judy Batista ask him that question and his response involving the term predatory behavior. I know that it was in Sue Robinson's memo. I get that. Hearing the commissioner say predatory behavior makes me think it's going to be a year.
That's probably the most inflammatory thing that Roger Goodell's ever said about a player when you think about it. And he's right. I also thought it was very interesting. You heard him at the very beginning of that clip say it's the right thing to do twice based off of the evidence that was presented. And then a little bit later, he says multiple violations. So from what I understand, Vanessa, Goodell wanted each of the four cases that were actually looked at by Sue Robinson to be a separate violation of the personal conduct policy. So this opens up an entirely new can of worms as far as what a possible punishment might be. Did he feel like six games is something that should be given to one of those four personal conduct penalties? Maybe there's a chance he gets suspended longer than a year. From a Houston perspective, I mean, bleep, yeah, right? I mean, imagine if Watson got suspended for more than this coming season. I hate to look at it from the how does this benefit me
perspective. No, but you're localizing it, right? And it is of local interest, especially when you take into consideration there's a draft pick involved. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, I mean, AFC. The Browns play the Texans this year. Will we see Deshaun? I don't think so.
Definitely
but
not.
But if he's here, what a storyline that would be.
That's what they don't want, though. Yeah. They don't want the storyline. They don't want the broadcast to be Deshaun Watson, Predator, when he was with the Houston Texans. And then, like, there'd be an intro package.
And it would be the B or C team of broadcasting, oh, yeah. Right? Because it'd be like a noon game.
They're not going to want to do it at all. It would be funny if they did if it was a Fox game and they got Tom Rinaldi out because that's where he is now. And there's like a dramatic piano playing in the background.
What if I told you that Deshaun Watson liked Instagram and he liked women and he liked massages?
But it took a dark turn.
Tom Rinaldi is doing, by the way, a true crime podcast about an MLB player that was killed in the middle of a season back in the 70s in Gary, Indiana. And
what?
I can't wait for it.
Wow, that
it's
sounds...
called Wesley.
That sounds interesting, and especially considering because Tom Rinaldi usually does heartwarming pieces. It probably would be more appropriate for whatever Chris Hansen is doing these days. I know he's on Cameo. Chris Hansen from
no,
To Catch a Predator. Yeah, he's on Cameo.
Guys, my birthday next year.
What? You want us to buy you Chris Hansen?
Yeah, just Chris Hansen. No,
we're just going to bring in Chris Hansen.
I just want Chris Hansen delivered to my apartment doorstep.
Just rent him like a party clown. Like,
Chris
hey, tell some stories, Chris Hansen.
Chris Hansen.
Hey, Chris Hansen, what's the worst thing you've ever heard?
Hey, sit down. Have some cookies.
Yeah.
Why don't you take a seat?
But no, I mean, this to your point, I don't remember hearing Roger Goodell ever talk about a player like this. And it was like almost, you know, you guys know I'm really into like body language and communication. It was the way that he said it when he was surrounded by the media scrum. He was like so sure about it. This man that, let's face it, is usually a little bit awkward. Sometimes seems like he needs to read off of a teleprompter.
I am Roger Goodell. I am not a robot.
I am not a robot. Yeah, it's like that cachet
thing. Come on. Ha ha.
He seemed really confident and at ease. And he said it is predatory behavior. It's the right thing to do. And let's face it, the guy that he appointed to make the decision, he's on pretty good terms.
Oh, yeah, it's a stooge. It's one of his goons. He's from New Jersey, too, so the guy's, like, very used to being a goon. All people from New Jersey are like that.
But that's the latest on the Deshaun Watson saga. We do know that they wanted to, quote-unquote, expedite the process of making a decision. We'll see. And, of course, it could be far from over because the Deshaun side of the camp and Mulugeta and all of them could file a lawsuit against the NFL.
They've shown absolutely no remorse, though. And I mean, that's going to be their undoing. Had they actually been remotely apologetic along the way, this might be different. But everyone in his camp has been saying, like, no, you didn't do anything wrong. It's totally normal to thrust your pelvis up in the air and whip your you-know-what around when you're, you know, getting massaged. Everyone expects you to bring in a hand-sized washcloth to cover your bits and pieces when you're in there. And that's why he's, I think, in the spot he's at now.
And Haslam said he was remorseful. Do you remember? And there, Deshaun has shown remorse, and everybody's like,
he, like, denied it.
Right. He literally said he didn't do anything wrong.
We're close to the end of this, I hope.
We'll see. No remorse needed for the Astros, who put a lot of runs on last night. There you go. Against the Texas Rangers. Didn't start out too hot. They were down 4-0. Kind of seemed like all hope was lost. It seemed like it was going to be another game like the last two in Cleveland where the offense was just stalled. But then Aledmys Diaz stepped up to the plate and hit a grand slam.
That ball drilled deep left center field. That's a slam. Aledmys Diaz hits a grand slam to tie up.
Second this year. He's had two grand slams this year, and his numbers over the course of the last, month or so, incredible. 30 for 95, 10 doubles, 7 homers. I mean, you got to keep finding ways to get him in the lineup, and they've used him in the outfield 19 times this year. I'd like to see them put him in more spots in the outfield because for the most part, it's been in left field. With the way that the Astros' outfield depth is, why not try him in right field? Just a question.
Martin Perez is usually a killer against the Astros. Our analyst, Michael Bourne, last night on pre and post game, well, I guess on post game, did a really good job of breaking down each pitch and how Diaz was able to just make a really quick in-game adjustment and then hit that grand slam, which of course tied the game. The Rangers took the lead again, but then Altuve ended up with an RBI and Kyle Tucker as well. So the Astros got the 7-5 win. Even with the win against the Rangers, there were some lineup questions. When I saw the lineup before the game, and I said this on air, I was like, hey, you know, whatever the method is, but Trey Mancini is not in the lineup. I thought it was very weird.
So Dusty Baker's not there, of course. It's Joe Espada right now. He was asked about a couple of different things. I specifically, the question was asked about Chaz McCormick, who is very good against lefties, not being in the lineup. And Espada said, I did not ask Dusty that. He is writing the lineups. We do have a ton of confidence in Jake Myers. I roll. That's me. So that's why we penciled him in there for sure.
Yeah, I mean, and they got the job done. So I guess you can't really criticize it a lot. But when you look at the guy that, when you look at the fact that they brought in Mancini and that he's been playing as well as he's been playing, and specifically, I'm glad you brought that up about Chaz McCormick, because that was something that was questioned amongst the masses too, is Martin Perez not only being a good left-handed pitcher in general, he's had statistically his best games against the Astros.
He's really good against the Astros.
So you have to bring it in your lineup. And I did think Joe Espada did a good job of managing the bullpen. It was interesting. He brought in Will Smith, and then I believe it was Montero, Neris, and then Presley.
If we hadn't seen Presley in like 10 days.
It had been a while, and he was able to get the job done as well. What's up with Yordan?
Good question. I mean, if you take a look at the last, X amount of games since I think it's July 29th, he's had 6 games where he's gone hitless. I'm curious about the hand. I'm going to be curious about the hand all year. Those are tricky when it comes to the way that they heal.
Inflammation.
Right. So, look, it's not... He's still out there. He's toughing through it. So that's definitely good to see. But I wonder, just because of the recent slump, and it could be just a slump. We see guys all go through this, and Alvarez was, you know, at one point, statistically, the best hitter in baseball for some
MVP,
of those advanced
MVP,
stats.
MVP, do we want to do a little Yankees watch action?
Oh, yeah. Last night was Yankees a hell watch. Of a game.
Yankees watch.
Damn Yankees!
2022.
Oh, Giancarlo Stanton, to Fugazi! Oh, my Achilles hurt. Boo, boo, boo hoo. Get the hell out there. Why aren't you playing?
The Yankees lost 1-0 to the Seattle Mariners last night in 13 innings.
Hey, DJ LeMahieu, 0-5? What's up with that? Clayton Torres, what are you?
Forget about it.
Screw your mother out there. What are you doing, Miguel Andujar? Huh? 3 strikeouts? What's up with that?
Pitcher's duel.
Jonathan Lasagna, why are you leaving that ball over the plate in the 13th inning? So here's the cool part about this. As the New York Yankees, they lose to the Seattle Mariners last night 1-0.
We have been waiting, and we have been waiting, and we have been waiting.
The champ is here.
For this day, because, you know, pat self on the back very sensually.
Oh.
I have been waiting for the day where the Astros would catch the New York Yankees. And guys, it is here! It is here! That is right! They are officially tied, but a little tiebreaker action. The Astros, of course, winning the season series against New York. Your Houston Astros, ladies, gentlemen, other, are in first place in the American League as of today, August 10th of 2022. It did not take very long to catch those New York Yankees.
We've said they're the best team in baseball. I think they've proven it over and over again. And we'll see. Look, I like the competition. I like that it's a tight race. It's better than some of the other divisions specifically, but then the American League in general staying tight. So it should be fun. All right, we're going to go to break. Coming up, you got to hear the Texans quarterback talking about a skill that you may not know he has. But first, Paul's going to tell you about PIN.
The Passive Investor Network. It is a full-service real estate investment firm. We're all looking to make money. Why not make money through real estate? Why not make money where they do all the work for you? Here's what happens. You meet with someone from the Passive Investor Network. You can do that by visiting their website, passiveinvestor.net, today, and tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio advisor. They go over your long-term goals and how you can reach them through real estate investments. Then you're done. They do the hard work of finding the parts of town and houses to invest in. They do the construction. They've got 20 years of experience on the job. You got to meet Ronnie. He's fantastic. And you get daily updates from them with pictures in the app of that property. And then once the construction is done, again, you don't have to do anything. They find the tenants for you. They do the property management. But you own the house. They just do everything else. I mean, sounds really easy, right? Why not do it? Visit their website today, passiveinvestor.net. And again, tell them ESPN 97.5 sent you to schedule a free consultation with a portfolio manager. What do you have to lose? You want to make some money? Why not? Passiveinvestor.net is the website. It's the Passive Investor Network.
This is ESPN 97.5. Real fun sports. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Davis Mills entering his second year under center as Texans quarterback. It should be the first year that we get to see him hopefully play a full season, get a feel for his skill set and where he's at. But he made an appearance yesterday, he and his mustache in all its glory, on the Pat McAfee Show. And we found out something that we didn't know about Davis Mills, about a certain other sport that he was involved in.
Baseball player, any other sports?
I played football, basketball, and baseball growing up. And got a black belt in Shaolin Kwan Do at a young age.
What?
A little bit of everything.
Oh, what? So you in what? Taekwondo?
Shaolin Kwan Do. It's a Korean form of martial arts.
What is it? Strikes? Throwing?
Shaolin Kwan Do?
Shaolin Kwan Do, yeah. Look it up.
Uh-huh. Black belt's a big deal, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you have to walk through and they just beat the out of you with that thing?
Punching through boards, throwing ninja stars, a little bit of everything.
This was fun. He actually showed some personality on here. And I'm not saying he's completely vanilla and boring, but we don't see him in this environment often.
Let's be honest. He has.
So we find out that he's done Choi. Yeah, and it's Choi Kwan. You heard AJ Hawk.
I thought it was Taekwondo. That's
a different type. This is Choi, which is why AJ Hawk was like, what is it? Choi Kwan Do?
So what's, I wonder what the difference is.
Well, he said it. It's the Korean form of martial arts.
But isn't Taekwondo also the Korean form of martial arts?
I'm not good with
I'm Choi, not either.
Choi Kwan Do, per the internet, is a martial art developed by Choi Kwang Jo. The style relies more on flexibility and fluidity of movement as opposed to the more rigid lines of some other martial arts. So it's still in the martial arts family, but it's Choi Kwang Do.
I got to ask my stepdad what he's a black belt in, and he's like a serious black belt in a bunch of things. I'm not 100% sure. I know it's Korean. That's the one thing I know. So maybe it's in Choi Kwang Do.
I think Taekwondo has less throws and is less grappling. It's more punches and kicks.
Yeah. Ooh,
that's fun.
There
From
you go.
Like Googling and taking Taekwondo classes when I was like 10.
Did you?
Oh. Yeah.
Shout out to Sean.
What kind of belt did you get?
Not high. Not a black belt.
But what? Listen, any belt's a belt.
I think it was orange.
Mm. Okay, how
like
do you
participation belt?
Yeah, it's like third or fourth.
How do you get a belt?
You
kill someone.
Yeah, you you give given a name on a sheet of paper and you have no. You do different like you learn little moves. And then you have to do like a demonstration, basically,
right.
You that
like
you know
a,
the moves.
Kick another small child of your age in the face.
Well, yeah, I think that's once you become an orange belt, they let you like spar.
And black is the highest you can go.
Yes.
Okay, so that's really impressive. Choi Kwan Do.
I have a question. So when you were learning it, did they actually let you guys go up against one another? Or was it like basically?
Not until you went up to, I think, like orange or maybe the next one. That's when you actually – other than that, it was just on rubber dummies and stuff like that.
Follow-up question. How accurate is the TV series Cobra Kai / the movie series Karate Kid? Like, are there lots of – you know, for someone who is a veteran of the martial arts like you, do you regularly find yourself in massive schoolyard brawls that look like they're out of the Matrix?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Thank you for
wax
answering
on,
that
wax
question.
Off,
although that
baby.
Is karate, not Taekwondo.
Oh. See, it's all the, yeah.
Karate Kid. It's not Taekwondo.
Karate Kid.
Damn it.
Well, if only it were in the title. Okay, so this brought up an interesting question. So we didn't know that Davis Mills had experience in Choi Kwon Do. I also found out he used to be on an AAU basketball team and was pretty good at baseball.
Man,
so
too many different focuses. Honestly, like I'm a little concerned about Davis Mills. Is he going to be like Russell Wilson and go play basketball or go become like the next leader of Cobra Kai?
Or Kyler Murray with video games.
Yeah.
What are the top qualities that you want in a quarterback?
Do you want to draft?
Let's draft qualities.
Can I go first?
Sure.
Okay.
With the number one overall draft pick.
This shouldn't be surprising. Don't be fat. I don't want a quarterback that's big that doesn't look like he can move. And I know, ooh, Ben Roethlisberger, he was good. Oh, Mac Jones, it was just a bad angle. I'm sorry. I want my QBs to be athletic looking. I'll give this to Davis Mills. He is athletic looking.
Would Eli Manning qualify?
No, Eli Manning's not too big. No, I just don't want like
okay,
a,
so no.
So Ben Roethlisberger was out the
Roethlisberger,
window.
Lorenzen, Al.
No, just gone. So, okay. Rohan Davey, gone.
I want somebody who's a little bit of a psychopath.
Ooh.
And does that mirror my dating life? Probably, yeah. But that's for me and my therapist. But for a quarterback, I do want somebody who is an absolute.
Who would you classify as a psychopath?
I will explain it. Okay. So when you have somebody who's like psycho, you hear stories about Tom Brady, about Peyton Manning, about guys that would call their receivers at 2 a.m. about a certain play, guys that would get there and not leave until they had watched every single bit of film, guys who really, really wanted to break it down. And it's one of the reasons that I don't buy into Kyler Murray and I don't buy into just general overall laziness. I want somebody that is so dedicated that it is borderline disturbing. And you know why? Because everybody that's at the top of their profession, whether it's scientists, musicians, doesn't matter, chefs, they all have a little bit of crazy in them. They're workaholics. They take it to the extreme. They probably could be diagnosed with something if they went to a therapist. But I want a quarterback, a starting quarterback, to be so dedicated that people, when they talk about Tom Brady, when they talk about Peyton Manning, when they talk about the greats, they're like, yeah, he like never stopped thinking about football.
So an obsessive psychopath.
Yeah.
As opposed to.
I don't want Dexter the serial killer. I want somebody that is so dedicated that it makes people question their sanity. Because that's what you hear when you talk about the great quarterbacks. And even like take somebody more chill like Eli Manning, who maybe didn't come across as type A. You still heard stories about him being like really into film, mm-hmm. really into working with the guys.
Okay.
The things that Peyton Manning would say to his teammates, it's like if he wasn't happy with how they were doing.
Brady too.
Like, exactly. Yeah. So that's what I want. I want somebody that's obsessive and that's obsessed with being great and that
good
really
descriptor.
Doesn't have that many other interests.
Much better than my first pick.
Yeah, not fat.
To be perfectly
honest.
Sean,
go ahead.
Can I take martial arts? Because Davis Mills, I even texted you, like, I knew nothing about Davis Mills outside, like, huh, big guy, went to Stanford. That's about it. Had 5-star, had some injuries. That's why he's on the Texas.
So you like Choi Kwon Go?
Yeah, Taekwondo, any discipline of the martial arts.
Okay.
You're being serious. You like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Because it's some athleticism. It's a lot of, fundamentals and rigidity, discipline. And also, like, if you can bust out some nunchucks, that would also be awesome.
Here's what concerns me about that, though. If your quarterback actually can defend himself, he might try to defend himself and get hurt in the process.
But no. See, that's the thing. That's one of the key things they teach you in my years of Taekwondo. It's about discipline and self-defense.
Ooh.
No one, Paul, you went to Cobra Kai. You're sweeping the leg. You watch that and you're like, hell yeah, throat punch people. That's not actually how it goes down.
So okay,
a lot more Miyagi's.
So we've all given one trait. Let's give another one.
Another one. Okay.
This is the second round.
Fine. I want my quarterback to be able to run. I want a fast quarterback, and I don't think Davis Mills is there. I like mobile quarterbacks. If I'm drafting a quarterback going forward, I want the guy to be mobile. I know this is more of a physical trait than a psychological trait, but I like guys who have the chutzpah, if you will, to take off, run, and maybe put a shoulder into a guy.
There you go. I'm going to go with pettiness.
Pettiness.
I like a little bit of petty. Now, you can't go too far.
Not too much. Not Baker Mayfield level, but.
Not Baker Mayfield level, but enough to where you do take things personally. It does motivate you. It does, you know, you pretend like you don't listen to the media, but actually your main PR person prints out the articles for you every morning. Ooh. I want a little bit of pettiness.
And that continues with your psychopathic trait.
It does.
Because it's like it's consistent, obsessive.
I think you want Aaron Rodgers. I think you just described Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers is on the slightly petty train. Okay. And I like that in Aaron Rodgers. Now, I don't know if I want psychopath as far as Aaron Rodgers goes as far as that trait. I mean, his mind is on kind of a different level.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want anybody cutting off their family.
Okay.
What's your second round quality?
My second one is going to be in college, you took like a non-football major. So whether that be Josh Dobbs taking like aerospace engineering, or I think Justin Herbert like double majored in biology and chemistry just in case you want to be a doctor. And the football thing didn't work out. I want someone with a crazy major.
Yeah, most of them are like physical education.
Yeah.
Nothing against physical education, by the way.
And when you're watching the college football game, it gets mentioned a million times what their major is. And you're
so true.
Yeah, got it.
So true. All right, we'll be talking more about Davis Mills and certain comments he made about the offense in the next segment, which is our daily NFL segment. First of all, let me tell you about our friends at Circa. Biggest pro football contest in Vegas is back, baby. $12 million in guaranteed prizes, two ways to win, and no rake. The Circa Sports Millions with quarterly payouts and 100% paybacks. You make five NFL picks against the spread each week. You get 1 point for each correct selection and half a point for a push. $1 million for the first prize winner, but over $3.5 million in cash prizes for entries 2 through 100. And then there's also a Survivor Pro Football Contest. I absolutely love these. They're super simple. You choose a different winning team each week straight up without the spread. Once a team is chosen, of course, you can't pick them for the rest of the season. So choose wisely. Only one winner in this contest. And it's a lot of fun. Visit circusports.com for details. You enter in Vegas and you play from anywhere.
This is Heisman Trophy winner Troy Smith. And you're listening to ESPN 97.5. Go Bucks.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
29 days until the NFL regular season kicks off, and we are so close to some preseason games, and we're ready on Vanessa and Gallant. Our jersey consultant every day is Paul Gallant. Number 29 is who?
We got a couple. Sealy, Texas graduate Eric Dickerson.
There you go.
First of the Pony Express, then of the Los Angeles Rams, with your Indianapolis Colts for a little bit of time as well. One of the best running backs of all time, a guy who actually ran for 2,000-plus yards, and a guy who had amazing goggles that he wore. I feel like he made it actually fairly cool. We also have to include him, Kenny Houston, former defensive back for the Houston Oilers from Prairie View A&M. He went to Dunbar High School in Lufkin. It's pretty awesome to have a guy named Ken Houston on the Houston Oilers. He also was a NFL Hall of Famer.
Feels like destiny to me.
Perfect. Perfect name. So there you go. It's Eric Dickerson and Kenny Houston today.
May I say, that may be your best day choices yet.
Really?
I mean, local.
Yes.
Unique.
Yes.
Little HBCU love there from Ken Houston.
Hell yeah.
Eric Dickerson. You know I love Eric. There
pandering to all the right people.
You really are. All right. So Davis Mills, we continue our conversation about him. He was on Pat McAfee and talked a little bit about the offense settling into Pep Hamilton's offense and what those conversations have been like.
Oh, I mean, it's been great. I think Pep, I mean, when we're installing the stuff now, he's still pulling up that old Indy film with Andrew at the helm. And
smart.
I mean, it's exciting. A lot of success in his past, and I feel like he's going to put everyone in really good situations and really good spots for themselves to kind of execute at their highest level in that regard. And then, I mean, it shows a lot of confidence with him and Lovie stepping up into the new roles. I think the team has a really good mindset, and everyone's confident moving forward. I think we have a lot of really good pieces around the team that we know we're able to go out and perform. And I mean, we're excited and itching at the bit for that first week.
Yeah. Pep Hamilton had been Lux OC, I believe at Stanford, and then as well as the Indianapolis Colts for a while, and helped him develop that deep ball. He's credited with that. What did you think when you heard that he's watching some of that old film and trying to develop? There's a lot of Stanford connection there.
There
by
is.
The way.
And I have no problem with that, because Stanford, for what it's worth, has a lot of intelligent people that have both played there and coached there, in addition to attended there. It's been, I think, over the last 20 years, a very just cool story. Obviously, starting with Jim Harbaugh, but continuing afterwards with David Shaw. I've always like admired them from afar. even though, you know, they don't exactly have the resources to compete with everybody. To go back and look at film of that, fantastic. And also, look, Pep Hamilton is probably the most important part of the Texans offense in 2022. Think about it from this perspective. Obviously, we're all looking to see what Davis Mills does this year, but Pep Hamilton is the one that has been given all of these pieces to work with. He's not named Tim Kelly, so we're all thrilled just about that by default. He has to now figure out a way to use all of the weapons that he has. And does he have that many? No. I heard the Killer Bees talking about it yesterday. They weren't thrilled with the wide receiver depth chart. I don't blame them for having those questions about it, but I think this is a really awesome opportunity for Pep Hamilton to prove whether or not he's got what it takes to potentially be a head coach. If you can find a way to MacGyver this offense into something
great term, by the way,
that's better than what we've seen of late, then damn, I mean, you're pretty good as far as offensive mind goes.
I'm not ever going to wear rose-colored glasses when I talk about the Texans, but we have discussed that throughout all the years of you covered them longer than I did. It does seem like they're on the right track in a lot of different ways. Pep Hamilton is experienced. He's very comfortable with Lovie Smith. Lack of weapons may be a concern, but I'm super excited to see what Pep Hamilton did. And look, I know Davis Mills isn't Andrew Luck. I'm aware of that. But if he can unlock some of those skill sets and help him with some of his Achilles heels, I think it'll be worth watching.
Yeah, Hamilton is the guy that I feel like you should be most excited about this coming season. All the stuff that you're seeing about Davis Mills and everybody else in camp, and we talk about it off the air a lot, Vanessa. Everything needs to be taken with a grain of salt at this time of year. But Pep Hamilton's had a pretty impressive track record leading up to this point now where he finally gets to be in firm command of an offense. And if he can make this work, then, I mean, damn, he's probably going to be gone too, which kind of sucks if he has a good year.
Very true. NFL owners have officially approved the $4.65 billion sale of the Denver Broncos to the group led by Walmart heir Rob Walton. Walton becomes the richest owner in the NFL with a net worth of over $59 billion. The $4.65 billion is the highest price ever paid for a U.S. sports team. And I liked Judy Batista, who was on the scene in Minneapolis, her tweet about how it's like seeing the smoke, the white smoke from the building with the Pope or whatever, whenever you hear all the owners clapping in the room because you know that the sale is official. It's a lot of money. And here was Walmart heir Rob Walton after the sale was final.
I'd like to thank Roger Goodell, Commissioner Goodell.
Fantastic. I mean, that is the correct pronunciation, I think. It should be Goodell.
Wait, really?
I think so. Yeah.
I think it's Goodell.
I mean, but you have good being followed by E-L-L. I think that the double vowels before mean that you go, ooh. I don't know anything. If there's an English teacher listening right now, please set us straight.
Here's the thing, too, with Roger Goodell or Goodell.
I'm going to call him Goodell now.
I feel like it might actually be Goodell, and he just never chose to correct anybody. Like, if Jerry Jones and Steve Bisciotti and all that on your first day say Goodell, aren't you like, all right, I'm Goodell?
I don't know, though. He's got a lot of ego. Have you read that book, Big Game, by Mark Leibovitz?
I have not. Should I?
I've read a lot of it. Yeah, the guy's pretty egomaniacal.
He doesn't come across like that.
Maybe
I'm missing something.
But no, he's very big into the fact that he is a 5'11" man, is in shape.
He's 5'11"?
You know anybody else like that?
Oh, God. Well, you should be Gallant, and you could be the next NFL commissioner. It wasn't that came out.
I mean, one of my high school coaches would just try to, when he tried to piss me off, he would call me Gallant.
Gallant, yeah.
And it worked.
Gallant.
I would never correct him though.
But isn't the word gallantly in the national anthem?
It is. Thank you for reminding everybody.
Gallantly?
I'm a true American.
Gallantly.
Gallantly streaming. Sounds like a prostate medicine.
Roquan Smith wanted out of Chicago.
Right.
Ian Rappaport had a report earlier about how exactly that went down, which is pretty entertaining.
Yeah, physically, Roquan Smith, the all-pro linebacker for the Chicago Bears and likely their best player on defense, or maybe best player in their entire organization, he is there. He is present, but he does not want to be there. He has requested that the organization trade Roquan Smith. Now, this after intense contract negotiations have essentially broken down, and he has some grievances. Now, my understanding, Mike, is that Roquan Smith has lost what he believes is any trust in the organization. He believes they're trying to take advantage of him, that the organization is trying to strong-arm him into a deal that is really not something that he could take. One example, they're insisting on de-escalator clauses, which no player making $15 million or more has in their contract. The deal they offered him was highly, highly backloaded and would really hurt the entire linebacker market. And clearly, he is offended by all this.
You got to thank your lucky stars that these stories are now in Chicago and not in Houston. This is, I think, a problem of the past where this organization just gets in its own way and pisses off its good players. The Bears have, like, no talent. Unless you really are a big believer in Justin Fields, they got no one that he can throw to. And this guy's clearly their best player, and they're basically telling him, yeah, we don't think you're that good. They're trying to figure out what to do with the new stadium, which either is going to involve them putting more money into that ugly Soldier Field and turning it into a stadium with
a
roof.
People are pissed at Lori Lightfoot, the mayor. I mean, they always are.
They always are, yeah.
But,
but right.
You mess with Soldier Field, whoa. That's worse than anything you could do with the Rona.
It's such an ugly stadium. Kind of. It looks like a space shuttle crashed into it.
Yeah, but it would be the first. It's like it would be the first change to the skyline in 100 years or something like that.
Yeah, that's not good either. Chicago is a, I think, objectively beautiful city too. At least with all the architecture that they have there.
I like Chicago. Chicago in the summertime is hard to beat.
I know. Chicago on St. Patrick's Day, cold but fun. Also,
cold, yeah, you definitely fun for you. Taysom Hill, not happy with his role.
Still in the league.
He wants to play quarterback, but he doesn't get to make that call. So they have pushed him towards tight end. He said, quote, things aren't up to me. I'm willing to do what I need to do to help us win football games. I love playing, so it creates opportunities to me to add value and compete.
This is why Tim Tebow's out of the league. You got to be willing to play other positions.
Right.
If Tebow had actually made more of a commitment to playing tight end when he was in the league, he might still have been able to carve out a career for himself. He had a bit of an ego about it, and he doesn't try to play tight end until he was with the Jaguars, and obviously it was a massive failure with Urban Meyer. Sorry, Taysom. I mean, this is your career now. The fact that you're still on the Saints, considering the, I thought, pretty ridiculous contract they gave you based off of what, like a couple of Wildcat packages, is something that I hope you invested. I hope that you saved it or invested it, because this is your reality now. And if you want to keep playing, you can't bitch about this stuff publicly. I think it looks really bad. And, you know, as we talk about organizations that are a bit messy, you've brought this up a ton, Vanessa, this offseason. No Sean Payton. It's Dennis Allen. No Drew Brees. This is a messy organization to be a part of right now.
I just can't believe people still talk about the Saints and say things like, oh, but it's the Saints. It's not the same Saints. In fact, ownership is changing because Benson died. Sean Payton's not there. I mean, whatever. Dennis Allen has worked there for a long time. But I just think that people are caught up in the brand. It's kind of similar to what happens with the Cowboys, right? Mm-hmm. And then every year you have to remind people that it's not your mama's Cowboys.
No.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, sportsmanship. Are you a fan of it or are you not? Paul and I have a disagreement to be had. That's coming up next.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Sportsmanship. Do you love it or do you hate it? Personally, sometimes I think it could go too far. I don't know why we're still doing handshake lines, especially after COVID. I think it's a little unnecessary, but there was...
Yeah, fist bump lines. Come on.
Fist bump, yeah. But there was a moment of sweet sportsmanship that went viral, and it comes pretty locally. After getting hit in the head with a pitch, there was an interaction between two Little Leaguers. And it's something that it's Texas East and Oklahoma in the Little League World Series. Here's that moment. Oh, do we have it? We don't have it.
The audio.
Never mind.
The audio was tricky. I thought about putting it in our rundown, but the audio was basically like just like the actual video.
That
itself.
Is my fault. I saw the link to the article and thought it was a link to audio.
Also,
I have no excuses because I got LASIK.
My fault. My fault too. So here's what happened. Texas East pitcher Caden Shelton.
Is that close to Houston?
I'm not sure okay. where
they're from Pearland.
Pearland, that's right. Okay
so these are our guys.
Because I've seen Randy McAvoy and some of the local news folks posting about the Pearland Little League. So this is those guys.
And it's between Texas and Oklahoma. So Texas East's Caden Shelton had a pitch get away with from him. It hit Tulsa's Isaiah Jarvis in the head. And it looked pretty scary for a second.
Especially when you're dealing with kids.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they're like 11,
12. Like, their brain's literally not done developing.
So, after getting to first base and getting up, Jarvis ran over to Shelton, who was pretty shaken up about it. So, clearly the kid's an empathetic, good kid. Aww. And I thought it was a cute moment. Jarvis gave him a hug, could be heard saying, "Hey, you're doing just great." It is a great moment. It actually seems like it's straight out of those commercials. Have you seen those? Like, sometimes it just means more commercials. I forget what it's for, but there's one.
Is that one where the little boy's like, "You're a champion. You're blah, blah, blah."
Probably.
It's the one where the basketball game and the ref misses the call and the guy goes to his coach. He was like, "It was out on me, coach."
Give me a break. All right.
Which
I
would have punched him in the face if I was his teammate.
That's dumb.
This was a moment that some, including Dave Portnoy of Barstool Sports, decided to say, like, the kid's rattled. You're trying to make it all the way to the end of the Little League World Series to leave him out there to cry and have a disaster inning, which I don't entirely disagree with. It was a nice moment, though. I know I would not have handled that moment well. I know what I would have done.
Young Paul.
Well, this actually happened to me once in eighth grade in a baseball game. So I'm at the plate, and the pitcher throws a curveball, but it goes behind my head. And I just stare out at the pitcher because I'm like, okay. Very next pitch does the same thing, hits me in the head. So maybe this is a story I unpack another day, but I didn't exactly have the best track record with baseball bats, given something that happened in sixth grade.
Whoa.
So and everyone that was on my team who knew me knew that. You think I'm a hothead now. You should have seen me in middle school.
Did you hurt somebody?
Two kids were playing catch with my wallet at baseball practice. And
okay.
I had a baseball bat, and I hit the kid who was near me in the thigh.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was
the
bad.
Thigh?
Yeah. And the fleshy part of the thigh.
Oh, yeah, okay,
yeah.
That's not, yeah.
So I was
thinking we had a Charles Manson on our hands.
Yeah, if you went for, like, the chest or something, like, trying to knock the wind out of him, that's one thing.
So I got suspended for a day. That was during a pretty rough time for me.
Sure.
Like, my parents were, like, in the process of getting divorced. So it was, but that's not an excuse. It was, like, a psychopathic moment. And I had a really difficult time controlling my temper. So when he hits me in the head, I literally walked out to the mound with the baseball bat, pointing it at him.
I said, like, dug my key into the sun.
Seriously. Yeah, just like that. Just like the, who is that?
Carrie
Underwood. Right. So the umpire and the catcher get in my way, and I eventually walk to first base. But here's the worst part of all. So eventually I find my way to third, and there's some just absolutely ridiculous play, and I'll be honest, I wasn't the best baseball player. So I'm caught in a rundown between third and home plate. All of a sudden, the pitcher is the only person between me and home plate. And I, as someone who was playing football at the time, could have easily run him over. But it didn't process, and I was trying to dodge him. So as I'm running, I turn around and I ran back. I get to the dugout, and every single person on the team who knows me very well, the way that you guys do, and they all are like, "Paul, don't you know who that was? Why didn't you run him over? What are you doing?" And then I realize it. I grab my helmet. I swore extremely loudly. My mom and my sister are like sitting at the front row of the games. And I just throw my helmet on the ground. I just go, "Bleh! Bleh!" Like just expletives. And I was in trouble after the game was done.
Wait, why did they say, "Do you know who that was?"
Because it was the pitcher. I could have run his ass over.
And he could have plowed him. Yeah,
I could have gotten him back. And I didn't. And I still think about this to this day. So I am not sportsman-like.
So you would not have been.
That story isn't about restraint. It's about missed opportunity.
Yes,
missed
exactly.
opportunity to be violent. Here's the thing.
So good for Isaiah Jarvis from Tulsa. And good for Caden Shelton. These seem to be good kids, not like me.
They're highly empathetic.
Who was a terrible borderline serial killer.
It developed with you. here's the thing. Whenever things like this go viral, you see extreme reactions on both sides of anything. And I'll give you the example. Dave Portnoy from Barstool, of course, quote tweets it. these kids are soft, blah, blah, blah. Okay, whatever. I don't necessarily agree with that.
Funny.
But it's Dave Portnoy, right? He founded Barstool Sports. Well, people then quote tweet him, and it begins the discussion of, if you ever want to see what toxic masculinity looks like, show people this tweet. Or, Dave Portnoy, you're everything that's wrong with America. Like,
toxic masculinity is good to a degree.
You know what I mean, though. What
I'm getting at, sports is based off toxic masculinity.
And so what I'm getting at is that, like, I'm not saying I agree with Dave Portnoy, but then people were like, you're a terrible person for wanting kids to be competitive. Eh, I think there's a balance. These kids are competitive. They want to win. They're in the Little League World Series. But yeah, like a nice moment where somebody thinks that they might be injured in the head and you hug them, whatever, it's life.
You know what it's for? A moment like that, and again, it's a cool moment, and shout out to both of those kids. But that is a moment that is much more enjoyed by people who don't like sports. Am I wrong?
That is, it is, yes. It is. That's why I kind of don't like it, is because it is catnip for Rex Chapman to be like, bruh, look at these, the next generation, they're going to be all right. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Both those kids are going to, never mind.
We can just
enjoy. We don't know what those kids are going to grow up to be.
But we don't need to quote retweet it and talk about how, like, this is a great moment for society.
It's going to be Hoda and Savannah on the Today Show. Now with the moment that you must see from the Little League World Series.
Exactly.
It's Pier Land and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be a whole thing.
I like that she has an Alaska accent there. Pier Land.
Yeah. I mean, whatever, right? Like, but you guys are right. You guys are right.
If that was the Tulsa kids teammate, I'd be like, what are you doing? We're trying to make it to Williamsport. I kind of agree with Dave Portnoy. I'd be like, what are we doing? We're hugging this guy?
Well, he just hugged him in the moment and then went right back to play. I think it was just a quick thing.
I have no problem with it, but you're right, Sean. There definitely is at least one Tulsa teammate that's like, what the hell, bro? Like, there's somebody in that clubhouse, if you will, that's like me, who thought that every single game he played in was the Super Bowl or the World Series, to the point that I remember intricate details.
This literally is the World Series.
Yeah, it is.
That's true.
Made it the World Series.
Thank you.
Some of these kids may be, and we'll get to Hard Knocks later, but they may be like Dan Campbell, where they're very aggressive and masculine, but then they love hard too. You heard him on Hard Knocks last night. He said, I love every single one of you guys. You guys are all I think about. So maybe they're kids that have high empathy, but are still really competitive.
This is, yes. Dan Campbell coaches basically like a, and this is not a knock on him, but all the emotionality that comes with the Little League coaches after they lose, and ESPN puts a camera in that huddle as he's like, you guys are going to do great things. I'm so proud of every single one of you. I'm like, oh my God. Like, can we talk? Like, can we go to the winning team where all the kids are happy, not all these kids crying?
He's the one that I don't think is beefing it up for Hard Knocks. I think that's actually who Dan Campbell is.
I don't know.
I think that's really him.
I don't know.
I do.
There are a couple
now,
of moments.
A lot of the players, they say things they would never say if they weren't mic'd up. Coaches, owners, he's one that I think he's naturally that aggressive and a little strange.
Well, we're going to have to talk about this later because I think this is definitely a full segment kind of conversation. But there are a couple of moments in this where if you're an adult and you're hearing this person talk to you like this, there's some people out there that are like, Jesus, dude, just shut the hell up. Can we just get out to the football field?
Right. Granted, I did not watch the whole episode because I was on Astros. But
I watched all up, except for the last 7 minutes of it. There were some good moments, and I'm curious as to where it goes from here. It wasn't a complete dud like a lot of recent seasons have been.
Well, I remember being disappointed with last year's because it was the first in-game Hard Knocks, and it was the Colts, and they didn't show a lot of the behind-the-scenes turbulence that I know was going on.
Right.
Like,
they have... I think there was a time before the NFL like really got its hooks into this where the NFL thought to itself, yeah, let's show all the behind the scenes. But then as time wore on, they started thinking, okay, we're going to give these teams a little bit of executive control because we don't want all of a sudden a big story to pop up that turns into a locker room kerfuffle between a couple of different players.
Great word. I'm into the word kerfuffle. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we are kerfuffling. I don't know if that's an adjective. But
I don't know either.
We're going to question some of the moves that the Astros have made. How do you feel about Dusty Baker's lineup? Plus, a look at the Seattle Mariners. That's coming up next.
ESPN 97.5.
Any team that's tested AI tools for data has seen the pattern already. AI gives a different number than your BI tool. Metrics don't match across teams. And inevitably, users lose trust. It turns out, turning on AI is easy, but making it work on data is not. Hex AI was built to solve this. The key is nailing context. Hex is built to unify and curate your data context for agents. Data teams can observe, govern, and continuously improve every AI answer, so answers get smarter the more your team asks. The result? Your entire organization asks data questions in natural language and trusts the answers. Not because the AI got lucky, because it knows your business and its data. Because that's what an AI analytics platform should do. Join data teams from Cursor, Lovable, Ramp, AWS, and over 2,000 more at hex.ai.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.
Overtime, moss, mold, and mildew stains cover your home, and cleaning them is too much work. You need Wet and Forget, the easy bleach-free way to clean tough outdoor stains. For decks, patios, and cushions, use Wet and Forget outdoor spaces. No scrubbing, no rinsing. Just apply and let it do the work for you over time. Got a bigger job? Reach second-story siding and roofs with Outdoor Max. Up to a 30-foot reach and two times the coverage. Get Wet and Forget at Home Depot, Lowe's, and Walmart.